Welcome back to Dark Florida, where the Sunshine State secrets come out after dark. I'm Brooke Moreland, your guide to the shadowy corners of Florida and beyond. From unsolved crimes to haunted legends, from cryptid sightings to bizarre news, here, the strange isn't just a story. It's a way of life. Tonight, we're unraveling one of Florida's most astonishing mysteries, Coral Castle. Often referred to as Florida's Stonehenge, it's a megalithic structure shrouded in mystery and wonder. Is it a haunting tribute to love? Was it aliens? Lost ancient technology? Or simply just limestone? Built single-handedly by Edward Leedskalnin, a Latvian immigrant between 1923 and 1951, this architectural enigma comprises of over 2.2 million pounds of limestone, some of the blocks weighing up to 30 tons. The questions of how and why Ed accomplished this feat continue to baffle experts and enthusiasts alike. How did he manage such a feat? Was it magic? A secret mastery of gravity? Assistance from extraterrestrial beings? Or was it the sheer, unrelenting force of a broken heart? This towering limestone fortress holds secrets that seem to defy logic, science, and time itself. Some say that Ed harnessed the forces of unknown, manipulating gravity and unlocking magnetic mysteries. Others point to the whispers of ley lines, hidden energy grids, and the secrets of the ancients. Whatever the truth, Coral Castle stands as a testament to the strange and the unexplained, a riddle carved in stone that challenges everything we think we know. Now, the man behind the mystery we're exploring today, Ed Leedskalnin, was born on January 12th, 1887 in Latvia. He was also a Capricorn. And I know that the last two episodes have been about Capricorns doing crazy stuff in Florida, but I promise that won't be all that the show's about. So we know very little about his childhood, apart from the fact that his parents weren't wealthy and he was really only formally educated until the age of around 9 or 10. And it was suggested that Ed loved to read and he learned stonemasonry skills from his father. And we know that by the time that Ed was in his 20s, he could read, write, and probably speak at least three languages. Now, when he was 26, he was set to marry Agnes Skufes. Mind you, she was 16 at the time, but he had fallen in love with her, and he often referred to her in his books as his Sweet 16. It said the day before their wedding, Agnes broke off the engagement, letting him know that he was too poor and too old for her and that he simply did not make enough money. Supposedly, this broke Ed's heart, so he packed up everything he owned and he left Latvia and came to America. It said that he went to California and he did some logging work there before making his way through the states. He lived in East Texas for a bit before he finally made his way to Florida around 1918. Now, eyewitnesses report seeing Ed wandering around with dowsing rods, and dowsing rods are commonly used to detect water or earthbound energy. When they asked him about its purpose, Ed just cryptically replied, "When I know, I'll find it." Standing at just 5 feet tall and weighing 129 pounds on a good day, Ed was a gravely ill man, and he was believed to be suffering from a severe respiratory disease, likely tuberculosis, a condition that had no known cure until 1923. But somehow, remarkably, he made a full recovery, which many consider a miracle. Some speculate that the recovery was not just a stroke of luck for Ed, but the result of his mysterious understanding of electromagnetism and healing properties of the sunlight's ultraviolet rays. He was a self-taught engineer and stonemason. Ed single-handedly moved 2.2 million pounds of limestone to construct a massive megalithic castle. Those who knew Ed suggested that he intentionally misled them, concealing the true extent of his knowledge and offering only partial or cryptic explanations for his methods. It is widely believed that Ed quarried the limestone by hand from the nearby pits, relying solely on tools like a rock axe, crowbar, sledges, and a cleverly designed system of levers. Every feature is carved from this brittle, bone-laden limestone, which can be very sharp and get very hot under Florida's scorching sun. We refer to Florida as the Sunshine State, but perhaps we should start calling it the Limestone State, because beneath our feet lies a foundation of a porous limestone that's formed in part from fossilized remains of ancient coral skeletons. Limestone is a very versatile stone, believed to help amplify healing properties and encourage purification. It is said to be grounding and center energy, while also helping foster positive thoughts. Limestone is a healing stone beneficial to overall health and well-being, and spiritual practitioners believe that limestone has metaphysical properties, making it a multidimensional stone with a deep connection to energy and balance. It's also said that it can help promote a sense of inner peace and tranquility, helping to reduce things like stress, anxiety, and depression. Some believe that white limestone can even help enhance creativity and intuition, making it a very popular choice for artists and spiritual practitioners. So these limestone structures include curved crescent moons, a massive Saturn, a representation of Mars, Venus, and a quarter moon perched atop the perimeter wall, all gazing down on a surreal landscape of limestone creations. Elevated thrones, beds, rocking chairs, tables, a star-shaped fountain, a functional sundial, all painstakingly shaped from the same stone. In total, the creation weighs 1,100 tons, featuring a 9-ton gate, a 5.8-ton walls, and a 28-ton obelisk, all quarried, carved, and assembled, remember now, by a single chronically ill man. To lift the massive 30-ton boulder that forms the north wall of the castle, using the basic principles of leverage, the practical mathematics are staggering. Lead Skalnin would have required a lever 148 feet long, with 22,222 pounds applied to its working end. To achieve this, the working end would need to start 40 feet in the air to bring the stone to an equilibrium at 10 feet. Raising those blocks 10 feet would demand suspending the equivalent weight of 11 full-sized family vehicles 40 feet in the air, all while balanced on a single 148-foot lever. And honestly, where was Ed even finding a 148-foot lever? Home Depot doesn't stock those last time I checked. The claim that Ed single-handedly lifted and placed this 30-ton boulder using basic tools and the principles of quote-unquote leverage remains unprovable. How could a 5-foot-tall, 100-pound man withstand the combined force of over 82,000 pounds? And realistically, who among us could single-handedly drive wedges deep enough into the ground to match the precision seen in Coral Castle's walls? Now, let's consider the perspective of Rusty McClure and Jack Heffron, authors of the most recent and comprehensive research on Coral Castle. Their book is called Coral Castle, The Mystery of Ed Lee Skalnin and His American Stonehenge. In their book, they describe it as the first objective journalistic look at Coral Castle, and they highlight the baffling nature of Ed's work. Quote, "The gates, more than any other feature of the castle, challenge the idea that Ed solely relied on engineering skills and basic tools. How could he have balanced these gates so precisely while the chain-wrapped stone hung suspended from a block and tackle? It's one thing to imagine him quarrying massive stones with simple tools, but quite another to picture him positioning them so perfectly that barely a seam exists between them, and then balancing them so they swing with just the slightest touch." End quote. When you learn about the size and the weight of these stones, it is really hard to believe that one man, even a brilliant engineer like Ed, could accomplish this alone. It feels almost impossible. The book is, quote, "an objective look at Coral Castle." Sure, but calling it, quote, "nearly impossible for one man to accomplish," let's be honest, it's outright impossible, at least when trying to replicate Ed's feats using the same tools he reportedly used, or even with modern machinery. Case in point, in 1986, a crew of 6 men armed with a 20-ton crane failed to restore the 9-ton gate to its original flawless condition, something that Ed managed to do alone, without a team and without heavy equipment. And now, even after their best efforts, the gate never has swung as effortlessly as it did under Ed's craftsmanship. Engineers are still baffled by how he managed to perfectly balance the massive stone so it pivoted at the touch of a finger. And honestly, if Ed were around today, he'd probably be sipping lemonade, watching modern engineers struggle, and saying, "What's the big deal? It's just a little limestone." When asked about how he did it, Ed said he discovered the secrets of ancient Egypt. So what about Ed's claim that he had discovered the secrets of the pyramids and figured out how the ancient builders in Peru, the Yucatan, in Asia raised and set massive stone blocks using only primitive tools? Well, we do know a few things for certain. Ed was absolutely fascinated by astronomy, to the point where he incorporated celestial features into this castle's design. He was equally obsessed with electromagnetism, so much that he wrote dense, cryptic books on the subject that blend magnetism and astrophysics together. It was like Ed was saying, "I know something you don't know," while daring the rest of us to figure it out. Megalis, electromagnetism, astronomy, and cryptic scripts. Quite the combo, right? Well, by the end of winter in 1922, Ed had already purchased a piece of land and began single-handedly building Rock Gate, which later became known as Coral Castle. But then, in 1937, Ed made a bold move, literally. He decided to relocate and move the entire castle to Homestead, Florida, around 10 miles from its original location. And get this, he did it with barely any help, just a few trusty tools and a whole lot of willpower. Talk about dedication. Among his remarkable creations was a 9-ton gate that swings and opens with just a gentle touch of a finger, a table that is shaped like the state of Florida, with an 8-inch indentation for Lake Okeechobee that's always filled with water, a 20-ton, 20-foot-tall telescope featuring a circular cutout that constantly aligns with the North Star, a sundial that not only tells time, but marks the equinoxes and the solstices. Also there is the world's largest Valentine, a 2.5-ton heart-shaped table with benches, which is said to be a tribute to his former fiance who left him back in Latvia. You know, the one who called off their wedding the night before they were to be married, deciding that 27-year-old Ed was just too old for her at 16. And I think she was right. According to V.M. Mohan, an author and researcher who has written extensively about Ed Liebeskallen and Coral Castle, that it is like a celestial map referring to the stars at every turn. The obelisk matches the constellation of Taurus. The north wall, with its triangular gabled shape, represents Libra. And the stocky T-shaped west wall is Virgo. And here's where it gets a bit, shall we say, quirky. Ed had what Mohan calls a, quote, mirror, a small vessel that's filled with water lined with graphite, which is often used in batteries, and topped with aluminum foil and filled with salt water. In essence, Ed had created his own homemade battery. And now Mohan even points out how the aluminum flakes on the graphite. As far as Ed's bathtub, it wasn't for relaxing, but for chemical experiments. In his writing, Ed even describes testing objects for their magnetic properties in water. It seems like Ed was trying to power up more than just the castle. The name Coral Castle didn't actually come about until the 1950s, but Ed had been quietly building his mysterious masterpiece from 1923 to 1951. During those years, he worked entirely alone. No one ever saw him move the massive stones into place. In fact, he did most of his work under the cover of night, using just a lantern to guide him. He seemed to have some kind of sixth sense about when he was being watched. It's said that he even filled the cracks between the stones with smaller rocks, making sure that no one could peek in during the day. But seriously though, how did this tiny guy manage to move tons of coral? Well, Ed was a self-taught physics enthusiast intrigued by the mysteries of ancient structures like the pyramids, where their stones were said to be moved and placed together without the aid of modern equipment. One story goes that Ed pulled up to a local quarry one night to buy several tons of coral. When the foreman asked how he planned to load it into his truck, Ed simply smiled and asked the man to turn his back. A few minutes later, the foreman turned around, and to his surprise, Ed was sitting in the truck grinning with the coral already loaded. No explanation, no sign of effort, just the mystery of how it had been done. When curious visitors would ask him how he did it, Ed would simply say he studied the methods used to build the ancient pyramids. But comparing the coral castle to the pyramids seems a bit off. The blocks in Egypt weighed about 2.5 tons each, and Ed worked alone, lifting 10-ton stones with just a tripod made from 3 pieces of Dade County pine. The Great Pyramids of Egypt have baffled humanity for centuries, inspiring theories that range from ingenious to the downright otherworldly. Conventional archaeology attributes their construction to a combination of slave labor, massive ramps, and an early understanding of simple machines like sledges and levers. Yet, skeptics argue that this explanation doesn't quite account for the sheer precision of the blocks, some weighing up to 80 tons, and the complex alignment of the structures with the celestial bodies. Was there some hidden ancient knowledge at play? Did the Egyptians harness forces that we simply can't comprehend today? It's no wonder that Ed was so captivated by the pyramids. He often claimed he unlocked the secrets of how these massive monuments were built with primitive tools. His fascination with ancient engineering likely drove his relentless experimentation with magnetism and gravitational forces. Whether Ed truly deciphered the ancient Egyptian methods or tapped into a wholly different mystery, it's clear he was channeling that same awe-inspiring energy when constructing Coral Castle. And one of the most fascinating aspects of the Great Pyramids is their celestial alignments. The 3 main pyramids at Giza are believed by many to mirror the stars in Orion's belt. This alignment isn't just a coincidence. Ancient Egyptians associated the constellation Orion with Osiris, their god of the afterlife, resurrection, and rebirth. And the pyramid's layout, 2 larger structures and 1 slightly offset smaller one, perfectly corresponds to the brightness and position of the stars Al-Natak, Al-Nalam, and Minnetaka in the Orion constellation. What's more is the alignment isn't just about the physical layout. The shafts within the Great Pyramid of Khufu point directly towards specific stars, including Orion's Belt and Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky. This cosmic precision suggests that the builders were not only master architects, but also highly skilled astronomers. They may have believed that the stars served as a celestial map guiding the soul of the pharaoh into the afterlife. Ed was just utterly captivated by these ancient feats of engineering and their connection to the cosmos. Much like the Egyptians, Ed incorporated astronomical features into his coral castle. His 20-ton telescope, for example. Did he believe, as the Egyptians might have, that the alignments of the stones and the stars unlocked some kind of universal power? Whether or not Ed had access to the same ancient knowledge or his own discoveries, the parallels between Coral Castle and the Great Pyramids give us much to ponder. The North Wall weighs in at over 30 tons. Let's be clear. This single block of stone far exceeds the weight capacity of any of Ed's equipment by a significant margin, making it almost laughable to think that he could have lifted it with just 3 pieces of Florida pine and a chain hoist. Now, Ed's hoist was made by the Wright Hoist Company, was rated for 10 tons, but the chain? Only rated for 5s, and the wooden tripod? Even less. So, someone could argue that the setup could have lifted a 30-ton block, but they would be overlooking both mathematical principles and practical logic. A 5-ton chain certainly won't lift 30 tons. Now, sure, you could theoretically reduce the load each pulley bears, but at some point, all that weight is going to rest on a single link of that 5-ton chain, and that link will snap. Now, this is where Ed's genius comes into play. He hides the truth in plain sight, making it seem possible when it's actually a complete falsity. Ed wasn't just a man using basic tools. He was performing something far beyond simple engineering. His setup doesn't even add up. There's something else at work here. Something revolutionary. The stones are placed and stacked without mortar, solely relying on their weight to hold them into place. The craftsmanship is so precise that the stones fit together with such accuracy that not even a sliver of light can pass through the joints. The vertical stones that form the perimeter wall stand 8 feet tall and maintain a consistent height. Remarkably, after decades, the stones remain perfectly aligned and have not shifted. A few eyewitnesses claim to have seen Ed at work, insisting that they saw the coral blocks float like they were helium balloons. The only advanced tool that Ed has ever mentioned using was a perpetual motion holder. This perpetual motion holder that Ed mentioned is one of those curious tools that keeps the mystery of Coral Castle alive. According to Ed himself, this was the only advanced tool he used to manipulate the massive stones. But what was it exactly? Well, it's a bit of a head scratcher because there's no clear historical record of what it actually looked like or how it functioned. Some say it was a simple lever-like device, while others speculate it could have been some kind of electromagnetism tool. While many believe the secret was simply the matter of using basic pulleys and levers, others argued that there was more to it. According to some accounts, there was also a mysterious black box involved, wired, somehow capable of manipulating gravitational or electromagnetic fields, making it possible to move these giant blocks with surprising ease. It wasn't just the typical tools and basic physics at play here. There seems to be something far more intricate at work. The term perpetual motion is often associated with machines that are supposed to run forever without an energy source, which, as you know, defies the laws of physics. Yet, Ed's use of this term may have been more metaphorical, referring to a mechanism that worked efficiently and endlessly to move the heavy coral blocks. Others think it could have been a reference to an electromagnetic or gravitational field generator, something that reduced the weight of the rocks, allowing him to move them with relative ease. Now, Edward Leeds Scounin still remains an even bigger mystery than the anti-magnetism device he supposedly used to levitate the coral. Was he simply ahead of his time, or did someone or something share their secrets with them? Who knows? Maybe Ed just really liked playing with magnets, or maybe he cracked the code on the universe's biggest energy source. But hey, I'm just speculating here. It's been suggested that Ed inherited knowledge from his father, a stonemason who taught him an ancient technique for moving massive stones, though let's be honest, it's not hard to wonder if there was some hidden Masonic knowledge involved. I mean, the Freemasons are known for their secret society. The deeper you go, the more secrets you uncover. Could Ed have learned something more than just basic masonry? It's a thought that we'll save for a deeper dive later on, but trust me, the Masons definitely deserve their own episode. Coral Castle was open for visitors. Ed charged visitors a dime to tour the castle grounds, but after relocating to Homestead, he raised the price to a quarter, though he would still let anyone in for free if they couldn't pay. At the entrance, visitors would find a sign carved into the rocks that said, "Ring Bell Twice." Ed would then come down from his second-story living quarters in the tower, ready to give them the tour. If anyone asked how he built the castle, he would just smile and say, "It's not difficult if you know how." In November 1951, Ed became very ill. He posted a sign on the front gate that read, "Going to the hospital," before taking a bus to the Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami. During his stay, he suffered a stroke and died 28 days later of a kidney infection at the age of 64. All right, now who's ready to take this down a rabbit hole? Because this is where the theories get really fun. Was Ed searching for a vile vortex, or was he tapping into a ley line? One of those mysterious spots on Earth where the planet's energy grid is practically buzzing with hidden power. There are certain places around the globe where gravity can be, shall we say, encouraged to bend, thanks to something called geometric harmonics. Yeah, I know, it sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel, right? But here's the thing. Coral Castle might just sit smack dab on one of these spots where the energy lines cross and the laws of physics aren't quite as solid as we think. Let's talk about the gravity. Well, the weight of ley lines. Ley lines are a concept introduced in the 1920s by an amateur English archaeologist, Alfred Watkins, are thought to be invisible energy pathways linking important landmarks around the world. Watkins, who focused on the English countryside, proposed that these ley lines are connected to sacred sites like Stonehenge, the Egyptian pyramids, through these terminal points, such as churches, mounds, and holy wells. Over the years, this idea grew in popularity among enthusiasts, who believe that ley lines form a global network aligned with the natural rhythms and celestial patterns in even the energy or psychic power of the earth. Some argue that ancient civilizations recognized these alignments and intentionally built structures on them. And other theories suggest that these lines may be connected by supernatural phenomena or even extraterrestrial activity. While mainstream science tends to dismiss the concept, a small but passionate group continues to explore the possible links between ancient cultures and the Earth's energy. People who know the secret, well, they just might be able to manipulate these forces to move giant stones, almost like it's a cheat code for building megalithic wonders. According to some, ley lines are essentially magnetic fields or pathways where underground rivers flow, and people still use them today to figure out where to dig wells and where to plant medicinal herbs. Dowsing rods, those classic witching rods, are used to locate where this energy flows or doesn't. So it makes perfect sense that Ed would have used ley lines to pinpoint the ideal spot for his rock gate and later Coral Castle. And hey, remember the anecdote about Ed and his witching rod? Well, dowsing is more than just an odd practice. It might have even helped Ed temporarily cure his tuberculosis by finding places that the energy to rest and heal. So again, the question arises, was Ed just some quirky guy with tools, or was he tapping into something much bigger? Coral Castle was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1984. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Ed Lidskalnin and his Coral Castle, we're left with more questions than answers. Was he a brilliant engineer, a magician, or maybe he tapped into something far beyond our understanding, like hidden earth energy or ancient knowledge lost to time? Sure. There's tons of theories, and probably even more wild guesses, but one thing's for certain. Ed's work was far from ordinary. Whether he was manipulating gravity, playing with magnetism, or just some seriously creative use of pulleys and levers, it's clear that there's more to Coral Castle than what meets the eye. But that's the beauty of this place, isn't it? It's a mystery that keeps us coming back for more, asking, how did he do it? And maybe, just maybe, that's exactly how Ed wanted it. After all, the man didn't just build a castle. He built a riddle for the ages. So, what do you think? Was Ed Lidskalnin just ahead of his time, or was there some strange hidden force at play? We'll probably never know for sure, but that's what makes this story so fun to explore. And as always, we'll keep digging into the oddities of Florida and beyond. So until next time, keep your curiosity alive and your mind open. Who knows what other secrets might be waiting for us just under the surface. If you've got your own eerie encounters, strange stories, or thoughts on the mysteries we've uncovered today, I would love to hear from you. Go ahead and send me an email at darkflorida@gmail.com. And please be sure to follow us on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast to stay in the loop. And if you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow, download, and share it with a friend who's into the weird and mysterious too. If you want to support the show, you can help us keep things going by donating at www.buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Your support truly means the world to me. Thank you for listening, and I can't wait to hear your stories. We'll catch you next time on Dark Florida. Keep it strange.